On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I review the firing of Frank Martin as head basketball coach for the men's team. I discuss women's basketball as they kick off the NCAA tournament and preview the baseball team's weekend series against Tennessee. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 51 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And it is March Madness, folks. It is here. There is madness left and right. Brackets busted. I had a horrendous start to my bracket, picking upsets that were just idiotic. It's just so frustrating sometimes. You're so convinced in the moment that South Dakota State is going to beat the number 4 seed, and it just doesn't happen. And then when it doesn't happen, you're like, am I just the biggest idiot in the world? What was I thinking? But yet you were so convinced in that moment. I don't know. But it's fun, though. It's the best tournament in the world. It really is. I love March Madness. First two rounds are just absolutely incredible. So I hope this weekend you are able to lock yourself in wherever you want to lock yourself, a bar, basement, living room, car with a radio, I guess. That works. That'd be weird. And just watch nothing but college basketball. But before we dive into things, we have to start this episode with our daily Gamecock fact/trivia. It is a fact today. Fact: George Felton was a member of the South Carolina men's basketball team that played in the 1974 NCAA tournament. The Gamecocks didn't appear in the Big Dance again until 1989, when Felton was the head coach of that USC squad. That is a very fitting fact for today, because I am jumping right into the biggest news in Gamecock country, and that is the firing of Frank Martin. Obviously, unless you've been living under a rock, you know what I'm talking about. Frank Martin has been let go as head coach for USC's basketball team. And it's a mixed bag of emotions. I mean, it really is, y'all. I talked a little bit about this on my Instagram. Quick plug, just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. But it really felt like the fan base was split as to what to do with Frank in general, but really after this year. Felt like you had some folks who said, enough is enough. We kind of know what the product is. We're not getting better. And it's just time to start fresh with someone else. But then you also had a camp that said, no, actually, he has brought stability to the program. He has the boys ready to play and competitive in the SEC. We were a win or two away from being on that bubble for some godforsaken reason, missed the NIT, but we really should have been. And he had a bunch of transfers this year. Last year was a COVID year, so kind of a wash. And at the end of the day, though, everyone can agree that Frank Martin is a good person. He's a good leader. He was a nice fixture in the community. I've said all this before, and I think that's where this is difficult for a lot of people, because it's not like the relationship soured with that person and the university and the play. You know, you could say that the relationship soured with Will Muschamp, right? It just, the fans were over him. He seemed to be over the press and the local community. He was just over it. So it's like, all right, get the hell out of here, guy. But with Frank, that wasn't really the case. It was just, you had to really look at it from, you are getting paid millions of dollars to win basketball games and to be very competitive in the SEC. And the powers that be determined that the product you have delivered this year, but years past, cumulatively, it's just not up to snuff, and we need to move on. And it's tough to say, but I agree with the decision. I felt that the product had gone stale, And when you look at what the rest of the SEC is doing, it's no longer just a football conference. Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, Tennessee, right? Kentucky, obviously. These schools have put a lot of resources into their basketball programs, and they are proud schools. They have proud programs, and there's no reason that South Carolina can't be doing that. And I'm sorry, but one tournament in 10 years, when you take, you know, that 1,000-foot view of Frank's tenure, that's it. I mean, that gets you fired anywhere. I mean, one tournament in 5 years can get you fired in a lot of places, let alone 10. And then for this year, you know, a lot of folks were saying, well, you know, we should have gone to the NIT. The net ranking is bullshit. Yes, I agree with that. But do we want our program to just be trying to get into the NIT on a prayer, like on a miracle? I don't know. I don't. And I'm not saying that I expect South Carolina to become Kentucky or Tennessee, where you have these high seeds and you're expected to make runs, and every year you're in the tournament, every year you're competing for the SEC championship. I'm not saying that. I want someone who can bring some regularity to bringing the program to the big dance. That can be every 2 years. That'd be awesome. Every 3 years, you're still beating the pace that Frank had. So that's what I want. Obviously, there's some hot names out there. Sean Miller's a big one. BJ Mackey, former Gamecock, the Chattanooga coach, the Furman coach. There's guys out there. I don't know too much about many of them. Sean Miller, I think, should be the number one target. Happy to talk about that on a different time. But no matter what, when you look back at the Frank tenure, everyone's going to talk about 2017 and that Final Four, as they absolutely should. And we are forever grateful to Frank Martin for the team he put together, the way he coached that team. Getting chills thinking about it. Brought them to the Final Four with grit, determination, team basketball, discipline. He had a great team, and he had great moments during that run, talking about the type of leadership that he had on the team, the type of men that he had, and he talked a lot about life during that time, and it was an incredible run. The banner will fly forever. I think that nobody dislikes Frank on like a personal level. It just ran its course. The relationship just got a little stale. He's doing media now. He's on CBS. CBS swooped him up for the tournament. He could be great at that. He could go coach a mid-major or anywhere, and he would probably have some pretty darn good success wherever he goes. It was just time for us to get some new leadership, get a new voice in that program. And it's a risk. It is a risk when you hire someone new that you can take a step back. But Frank has elevated our expectations, almost a victim of his own success, that he said, you know what, like, there's no reason why we can't be good here. Made us look at men's basketball a little differently. You know, my freshman year when I was at Carolina, the football team won more games than the basketball team. That's not the case anymore. So I hope whoever we bring in can recruit the area well and can bring an exciting brand of basketball to Carolina, because the people want it. You see what Dawn Staley built, sold out every night. I think that can happen, and then some on the men's side as well. There's no reason why we can't be good at basketball. So, Frank, thank you for everything, and we will always look back at your tenure with a smile, thinking of 2017, wish you nothing but the best. And to all my fans out there for Gamecocks, let's embrace this new chapter with open arms. But while we're on the subject of basketball, it is time. Let's get ready to rumble, baby. Women's basketball, the quest for the big trophy begins now. They are in the NCAA tournament. Opponents are set. Let's freaking go. Touched on this a little bit last episode, but the women's first game is Friday at 2 p.m. against Howard. They won that play-in game. So, Howard, good luck. You're going to need it. Man, that's, I don't know anything about the Howard women's basketball program, but I'm glad they had their one moment where they won that game, because good luck. Now, my quote of the game here is not so much basketball directly related, but get the taste out of the last game we played out of our mouth, right? get back to that winning feeling. Get back to that loving feeling. Make sure that we can distribute the ball to as many people as possible and get people scoring. Get people, as many people as you can, getting 4, 6, 8 points, right? Get the good vibes back. I'm going to paraphrase here, but Dawn Staley, she said that one of the worst things about the way they lost and when they lost was that that's the last game they had before the NCAA tournament. They had a good break, and it's just a crushing loss, so it might have stopped their rhythm a little bit. So we need to use this game as our kind of get your groove back, kind of get your mojo back, right? So if we can do that, settle in early, distribute the ball, get some people off the bench, and just have good vibes, that's my crow to the game there. Because assuming that the seeding holds true, the second round matchup will be Sunday between either the winner of Miami and USF. Little battle of Florida there in Greensboro. That's kind of fun. Little battle of Southern Florida, actually. Dang. Wow, that's pretty neat. I'm no expert on it, but, you know, it's bracket season. There's bracketology all the way around. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pencil in the seeding upset. I'm going to say USF will beat Miami, and that's who Carolina will face in the round of 32. But again, the key has to be to continue that groove, right? If you play USF, USF will have not played many teams with the type of roster that we have. Chock full of All-Americans, Aaliyah Boston, Destiny Henderson. I expect Henny to have a big tournament. I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling. I mean, she's been very good all year round. It's really not going on too much of a limb to say that. But obviously, we're going to play through Aaliyah Boston. We're going to play through our bigs, Victoria Saxon. But Destiny Henderson, Destiny Littleton, some of our other guards, right? Letitia Amy here. Those are the players who might not get necessarily enough credit. But when they are going, it opens up the floor. Defenses can't focus on our bigs. And it's just darn near impossible to beat us. So we have to play consistent. We have to play four quarters because what happened against Kentucky and Nashville, that's not going to cut it. So I hope there were some lessons learned from that, but I got to believe that in these first two rounds, it's kind of knocking off the rust, right? Getting your groove back. That first game is perfect. One versus a 16, you should roll. USF or Miami might be a little bit more of a challenge, but I would still like to think we can handle our business quite well. And then assuming things go well, now we're in the Sweet 16, and now we're talking about competition. So I'll cover that in the next episode, but first two games, Friday and Sunday for the Gamecocks, I am ecstatic. This is going to be such a fun tournament to cover. This team is on a mission. This team, it's funny, they haven't really said it overtly, but everyone is back from last year's debacle in the Final Four. You know that there is a little bit of extra motivation. We haven't really heard a whole lot about that from Dawn or from any of the players, but you know it's there. So I'm very excited to see how determined this team comes out in the early rounds. Right? Don't be surprised if it's close at times. Maybe that second round game is close. That's the nature of these tournaments, but it's going to be a wild ride because we have a high expectation. The players, the coaches, the fans, everyone has a very, very high expectation for what this team can do. And I think that our bracket shakes out pretty well to get to right where we need to be. So we'll see. And that is really good vibes. Put your mojo out there. I've said that word like 7 times today, but manifest it. Manifest the good vibes for the next couple of weeks for this team. But now moving away from basketball, there is still baseball going on. And talking about manifesting some good vibes here, baseball, the midweek game, Gamecocks beat Gardner-Webb 12-0, mercy ruled them. They mercy ruled them. I didn't even know that existed in college baseball. I swear to God, I did not know that existed. Call me a crappy fan. I only thought that existed in, like, middle school. Didn't know it existed. You're a D1 team and you got mercy ruled, hashtag embarrassing. Just a good old-fashioned butt kicking. I was going to say butt cooking. I guess that's kind of like cooking bacon technically, but whatever. But don't look now. But the Gamecocks on a nice little 3-game win streak Side note, Texas lost to College of Charleston, so I think it's fair to say that the Gamecocks broke Texas and that Texas cannot handle the Palmetto State. So good luck, Horns. Good luck when you come to the big bad SEC. Think you're hot shit then. You won't be. But winning pitcher for Carolina in that game was Aiden Hunter. Four innings pitched, three strikeouts, one walk. That's efficient. Some other player highlights for y'all here. I mean, 12-0. It's kind of the whole team was a walking highlight. But Brant Belk and Kevin Madden, both with home runs. Michael Money Braswell, 2-for-3 with 2 RBI. Andrew Eichter, 2-for-4 with 2 RBI. And right there, look at though, that's four names, four key guys who, if they can stay hot, stay consistent, that is a good chunk of the lineup right there that you want to see stay consistent. And clearly the energy and focus that South Carolina brought in those final two games against Texas carried over to this game, and they did not take their foot off the gas. Don't want to pat myself on the back here, but that basically was my crow to the game for this game. Just don't lose that focus, and clearly they did not. But this weekend series that they have, big series, y'all. SEC play is starting against Tennessee in Knoxville. Y'all know I hate Tennessee. Hate Tennessee with passion. Unfortunately, Tennessee is 16-1 overall on the year, so this is definitely not the easiest opponent to start off conference play with. But what are you going to do? So South Carolina's pitching rotation, little different, small couple tweaks here. Friday, Noah Hall is going. Saturday, Will Sanders is going. And Sunday, Matthew Becker. So at first look, I was pretty interested to see that Sanders was going on Saturday, but I think that was basically to give him an extra day of rest. You remember he pitched last Sunday in that doubleheader, so kind of makes sense. I would expect him to go back to that Friday spot after this series. But did see this one school of thought on Twitter that maybe he's there on purpose, so that way you put Sanders against the second-best pitcher from Tennessee, maybe try to give yourself a little bit of an edge. This team is fighting and clawing for wins and momentum. I see the logic, but I still think that it probably is just the extra day of rest. But I wouldn't hate that logic for this series at all. But outside of that, how about having three named starters? I mean, I feel like we haven't seen that all year, right? Even the first series, Sunday was TBA. So pretty electric. And then I also love Matthew Becker in that Sunday spot, especially after what he did against Texas. So super exciting here. But any way you slice it, this is going to be a challenging series, especially going away for the first road series against Tennessee. It's going to be very, very tricky here. But my crow to the series here is it's Matthew Becker. Matthew Becker has to deliver a quality start, and quality start meaning six innings with three earned runs or fewer, because we need someone to step up in that rotation and just be solid. And I have Becker, I have to have faith that he is that guy. Again, you don't need to be a world beater. You don't need to be Will Sanders 2.0, but just be solid. Give a quality start, and let's have our offense have a chance to get back in this. So Matthew Becker, if he can replicate some sort of quality start, that's a crow to the series. I mean, it's going to be tough, right? But this team has renewed energy after the Texas series. So if we can go up to Knoxville, take a game, maybe even two games, but regardless, if we can stay competitive throughout, that will say a lot about this team. If we get one win but are close in every game and we're within striking distance, that says a lot that this team has that energy, they have that fight, and they're going to battle every game. So that's going to be fun. We always have to root in our boys there, so go Cox there. But most importantly, I just want to sum up the episode here. We absolutely have to support our women's basketball team in any way, shape, or form throughout this entire tournament. I am so excited that it kicks underway, because their quest for a potential national title has begun. I believe this team has the talent to do it. We're going to need a lucky break here and there, just like any championship run. But it starts Friday. It's incredible to watch. With that, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram, just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast on any platform you listen to. I appreciate all of that. We got a big, big weekend in Gamecock country. Big couple weeks to come from every angle. Also, spring practice started for the football team. Didn't even get to that. Spencer Rattler looks incredible. Amazing. Go Cocks.